the migration of people that lose their food and water security, and that effect being disruptive for political systems as these people seek a better livelihood, reluctantly leaving their homes and going elsewhere. I'm convinced that that will be a more immediate consequence of elevated greenhouse effect. Sea level rise is an urgent, huge issue, which ultimately will force really uncountable people, numbers of people, to forfeit their land in coastal areas that we cannot justify or afford to build sea defenses. And those displaced people will add on top of food refugees and drought refugees, which we're already seeing today.
We want to thank you so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Jason Box is our guest, professor and ice climatologist at the Geologic Survey of Denmark and Greenland. We'll do part two and post it online. Thanks so much.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Featuring local and independent artists.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College.
And now we're bringing you from Ford Field, the Dearborn Homecoming. Alan, can you hear us?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Fine.
Great. Hi. Good afternoon. How are things back at the station?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Thanks for being there for us today as we start another year of WHFR at the Dearborn Homecoming. I'm Alan Mazurek here, and we are broadcasting live from our booth right in the middle, right across the fairway from the rides where we normally are here at the Dearborn Homecoming. And it's a great opportunity for us to get out and meet a lot of our loyal listeners and bring you an edition of the WHFR Journal from the field. Joining me for the broadcast today, we've got Justin Randles. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right. It's going to have to be like that for right now, all right? That sounds great. Thanks for being here. And also Stephen Glazer from the he's the faculty member, the head of the ceramics department at Henry Ford College.
Yes, I am.
Hey, there we go. We've got you. So let's talk just a little bit about some of the great things going on at Homecoming this year. Obviously, it just kicked off a couple of hours ago here at Ford Field Park in Dearborn. And again, don't confuse that with Ford Field in Detroit, where, you know, the Detroit Lions play.
But anyway. As the late Dale Van Dorf used to say, the original Ford Field.
The original Ford Field. I like that. That's not bad. So things just kicked off at 11 o'clock. And there's all sorts of activities going on all weekend, and it's just great to be a part of it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, a lot of fun being out here.
And, of course, WHFR will be here all weekend. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about and just sort of run down some of the highlights of what's going on over the course of the weekend. I'll sort of look at what's going on today, and Justin, look through tomorrow's schedule and have you talk about that in a second. Let's see. So, obviously, the festival is open. The food courts are open. And there is all sorts of activities going on over the course of the day. Children's activities at the Access Arab American National Museum tent. There's the Capes and Crowns character events from noon to 5. Obviously, you know, all sorts of rides for the kids and things like that. Music gets started this evening at 6 o'clock with the Santana Project. Although, actually, before that, at 3:30, we want to mention that there's the Healthy Dearborn raffle will be taking place. But anyway, music starts on the main stage at 6 o'clock with the Santana Project, a Santana cover band. And then we've also got music going on at 6 until 10 from Musically Yours over at the other stage. And then Sunglasses After Dark will be playing from 7:30 to 8 at the food court stage. And then 8:30 to 10 tonight is Atomic Radio on the main stage.
And tomorrow we got a bunch of activities scheduled for the kids. There's a children's fishing derby. That's free. That's at the pond. There's a Healthy Dearborn family bike ride. We've got, of course, the carnival will be open. You know, we didn't mention the food. There's a Polish-American tent. There's an Arab-American tent. Like, the food smells right now are just driving me crazy. And then there's events that keep continuing throughout the day, children's crafts. Detroit Institute of Arts tent. And then the music will start at 1 p.m. tomorrow with Dearborn Big Band. Gordon Russ, the magician, will be on the stage after the big band. Then we have Downriver Dan and the Billies, Dave Boutette and Christy Lynn Davis, Funhouse, Musically Yours. And then the main event at 8:30 to 10 p.m. will be Starship featuring Mickey Thomas.
That's going to be on the main stage tomorrow night at 8:30. And then, of course, when Starship is done, it's time for the fireworks on Saturday night. Fireworks on Saturday and on Sunday night as well.
Yeah, some of the best fireworks in the area. Because I'm not a big fireworks fan, but they're pretty cool here.
Nice. So I was going to say, Stephen, you've been to your share of homecomings, right?
Yes. We've been out here. See, I've been at Henry Ford for 15 years, so probably the last 8 or 10 years.
We've been trying to figure out, and it's always a bit of a debate every year in terms of how many years WHFR has been coming to homecoming, and I know it's been a long, long time. Yeah. Unfortunately, Lara, our operations manager, is not here, so she's sort of like the institutional knowledge, as is obviously Susan McGraw, our general manager. But it's been quite a while that we've been here. And I know that one of the things that you always enjoy is perusing the CDs and the records, and that's another reason why WHFR is here, right?
It's not the type of music for everyone, I guess, but it's like you can find everything. So I think you get a lot of donations also,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, you know, a lot of the clearing out inventory that you don't play a lot, is that how it works for a lot
that's
of
some of it,
stuff?
Or sometimes we get duplicate copies of things that we end up putting in the record
or
library.
You only have so much room in your...
Yeah, you've been to our studios.
Yeah.
We don't have shelf space for everything, but that's going to be going on all weekend as well. We've got, I don't know, probably like a couple of dozen bins of CDs. There's LPs and 45s. The CDs are for a $1 donation. Five albums for a $1 donation, and 10 45 singles for a $1 donation to WHFR.
Which is really pretty cool if you're a vinyl collector, because there are vinyl collectors out there now.
There's some
it's like a lot of it, it's not only the records, but it's the record label or the cover are cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's already a few there that I've had my eyes on. I'm looking to see if anybody's going to take the copy of the Glenn Campbell Christmas album, which actually looked pretty cool. So so anyway, that goes on all weekend. I know that, Stephen, you'll be there afterwards. You can also visit us here at the WHFR tent. We've got all sorts of things. If you need to pick up a copy of the new program guide, The Loyal Listener, we've also got these swanky WHFR buttons that we'd love for you to wear all around the Dearborn homecoming. And if we're known anywhere in the world for one thing, it's we always have the best pens. And we upped our game this year. We're back with a new edition of the WHFR pen. And this one actually is a three-color pen. You can write in red, in black, or in blue.
Going back to the 1990s style of pens there.
Exactly. So, Stephen, tell us a little bit about what you do and what's going on in the department.
Like,
talk to us.
I teach ceramics and then in this fall color theory in the art area. And the ceramics area, myself and two of my advanced students and one of my techs is supposed to come later today.
Mm-hmm.
But we're up here doing demos just for the community to see what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal commitment to try to start raising scholarship money for a faculty-controlled scholarship for students of the new Associate of Fine Arts, the Studio Arts degree, a degree that we set up so that a student can holistically transfer into a four-year BFA program, Bachelor of Fine Arts program, which is a high concentration in studio classes.
And what types of classes? I mean, is this disciplines?
This would be, our basic studio arts degree that we've set up, and Wade will take it, and Eastern will take it. It has drawing, a basic drawing one, a 2D design, 3D design, a color theory class, a digital media class, or digital design, a second drawing class, a life drawing class, a painting class, a ceramics class, a digital photo class, three art histories, and then the possibility of two more classes, studio classes, depending on the transferring institution and what they require.
What they would need.
Eastern
okay.
wants one advanced studio class. Wayne wants two. And that's along with the full MTA, they each said, where the degree is set up. So it's sort of like an applied degree where it's only requiring 16 gen ed classes. But Wayne has given us, or given our students, 76 hours at Henry Ford College, which is a lot cheaper than Wayne State.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern has given us 73 hours at Henry Ford College. So it's like a great opportunity for someone who wants to transfer to either of those schools. We're working on agreements with Western and Central Michigan right now to try, hopefully be something that's good. But even if it's just a 60 hours and then transfer holistically there, it's like 60 hours at Henry Ford College prices
right.
compared to 60 hours at university prices.
Right, indeed. And then a lot of interest in the program. How's the enrollment going for it?
It's been a slow start. We had a crazy thing going on with some of the computer programming difficulties last summer, and I don't want to get into that yet.
Sure. And then, you know, a focus obviously still on the physical arts, as digital arts.
This is an introduction to digital media, but not graphic design. It's like this is like for someone who wants to be a studio major, you know, basically. You know, we have drawing, painting, photography, and ceramics as our studios. But if you go to a four-year school, they'll often have, you know, sculpture, jewelry, textiles, you know, other medias beyond what we have.
Oh, cool. Very nice. And then, of course, I know you also do a lot of work at the Thyssen Gallery.
Yes, I'm gallery director for the Thyssen Gallery.
And I'd imagine you probably have a few things. We'll circle back around. I was going to say, where will they find you at homecoming? But let's follow the Thyssen thread here. What's coming up there this fall?
Okay, this is an interesting thing that I wanted to talk to people at the radio station about, because the first exhibition is an exhibition curated by an individual, not an artist, a historian, and you know, cultural studies instructor at both Lansing Community College and Michigan State, who started collecting albums for the covers and has broke them up into groups and how they deal with, like, you know, art history, cultural history, you know, world history, and stuff, and so a big display of album covers in the gallery, about 100 plus that he owns and has framed. And so it's like this will be going on from when school opens up through September 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see if we could get some performances in the Thyssen Gallery, from local musicians.
Right.
During the time period, some afternoon performances or something.
Obviously, because of the musical tie-in.
Yeah.
That sounds good. It's hard to disagree with that.
Yes, I mean, it's like I have a small PA because I play bass around, I don't sing, but it's like it became a cool, opportune thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, if someone doesn't have a PA, it's like, okay, yeah, I got one. So my PA is sort of lodged in the gallery right now, so it's like, so that with this exhibition, set up, it's like, it will be on campus, so it's like, we could just set the PA up and do that, and, it's like, can't make promises, but it'd be really cool if we could get either someone from the radio station or someone from the music department from the recording arts section, to record, even if it's just a two-track,
right.
live recording.
Right.
It's just, we did that when, Tazine's band, Lou Fuki, played there. And the recording came out pretty good. Yeah, the music recording arts people did it. They just used one stereo mic, but they did it with a professional recording equipment.
I think there's some conversations to be had about
that.
So
it's like,
so it sounds
I'd really like to do that. And it's like what we did when we had the We Are Dearborn exhibition, which is when Lou Fuchi played and when Harmonica Shaw and my brother Howard Glazer and I played. It's, you know, I think Harmonica Shaw and my brother and I, we did a 4:30 slot because we wanted to do it after the offices, you know, so
start
it's not
to close,
real. Yeah. Or Friday evening. And that's when Lou Fuchi did it. And the reason for that is, like, then you get outside people.
Right, so, yeah, to have a destination.
So it's more of a concert.
Right.
It's like to have something going on. It's like one more thing on a Friday night in Detroit. Yep, it was, yeah, do this for free. So it's like I don't have money to pay the bands, but it's like it could be some free publicity. If we can arrange it with either, you know, you guys or our music department, it's like you get a live recording out of it.
There you go. So now the exhibition itself, these are album covers presented as artwork.
Yeah.
It's not recreations
of
them.
No, they're actual
album covers.
In fact, it's meeting with the person who owns this collection, and he goes around looking for particular covers and stuff.
Which
they said it's like if he found them in the weirdest places. He was in Bangkok or someplace like that or Thailand last summer and found a record store of old, you know, used vinyl. And, you know, talked to his wife going in there with him. And I said, it's like, I found a couple that I've been looking for in Thailand of American bands. And it's like one of them was a Detroit band. I can't remember who it was.
And unlike most vinyl collectors, he's not too worried about, like, the quality of the LP itself.
Right.
Like,
he's
what it sounds like. He wants to have a good cover of it. And obviously, it is sort of a lost art form in the digital age when
it
comes to MP3s.
It's like instead of something 6 inches square, it's something a foot. Yeah.
Sure.
And... yeah, it's a big difference in how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you imagine, it's like, I guess, it'd be like four CD squares laid out next to each other.
Well, and in the art world, kind of the same thing. The difference is you talk about, you know, being a studio artist, that physical, that tactile kind
of... instead of like doing something on a computer
screen. On a computer.
And it's like, it's not trying to delegitimize one, it's just that they're different.
Right, exactly. Well, having done my share of, like, slicing and slicing a reel-to-reel tape, I take the digital any
But then at the
tape,
same time, Derek, it's like, and I don't know if there's...
But I was in that generation,
There used to be a jazz label out of Baltimore that was, like, totally analog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, you know, from the get-go. And doesn't Jack White still do some recordings
that are
totally analog?
Indeed, yeah.
And, like, you know, Presses Records.
Yep, indeed, right in Detroit, actually, right at Third Man.
Right.
So, okay, again, what's going on here at Homecoming?
At Homecoming.
You're at the top of the
hill? Yeah, we're at the top of the hill.
All right.
We have a booth that is promotes the ceramics area at Henry Ford College, as well as, you know, I'm department chair over Fine Performing Arts, so I have also promo material on the dance classes and the theater classes because music and... graphic design did not put together a very simple sheet to see stuff this year, even though I requested it. So I can only go so much. In fact, I said, I'm willing to make it if you give me the information. So I was like, we have ours.
Okay. All right, it happens.
But it's, so it's like I have information and can answer questions for as much as I know. I try to know what's going on with all of them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but we're... doing live pottery demos.
I'll be at
a potter's wheel or one of my former students who now teaches at Cabrini High School. Went from Henry Ford to Eastern Michigan and now teaches in the area. He's up there with me, and so we'll be trading off working on the potter's wheel, and when one of us isn't working on the potter's wheel, the other one will probably be doing hand building.
Nice.
And then
like a lot of fun.
Around us, there is, the Dearborn Community Arts Fund has, through Imogene Woodyard, done the paint out in the park for the third year in a row, where they have given artists a 4x4 panel to create what they want. And the first year we did this, 2 years ago, we did a big exhibition at Henry Ford College. And then from that, the exhibition traveled to Grand Rapids Community College, Delta College in Saginaw, Albion College, and the Muskegon Community College. And the second year, the exhibition went from here two Black Fox Gallery in Dearborn. And I think the plans are for the third this year to be at the new microbrewery that's in East Dearborn.
Okay.
Then if it does anything beyond that, I don't know yet.
And then, you know, do you have to be an artist?
I don't know.
Does it help?
For this, it's like there is a format that you have to go through.
Okay.
I'm not part of that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, it's a.
I am one of the judges.
To come here and talk
yeah, I'm trying not to look at what people are doing because I am one of the judges.
Sure. Absolutely.
So I want to see everything with a clean eye come 5 o'clock Sunday.
And yeah, how did that go last year? What were
it was pretty interesting last year. Last year they went down. The first year we did 4x8 boards. Last year we did 4x4s, and that's what they're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the first year I thought it was a lot more exciting because it had more of a graffiti art feel because of the size.
Sure, the aspect ratio of 4 foot.
Yeah,
by
it's
eight
like
foot.
It's about the size of some of the tagging you see on the side of a railroad car or something or building. Yeah, so it's like to me that was. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing
it. Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing it. It's a different group. I don't know how many of the original people are up there, so it's going to be interesting when, come Sunday when I decide, okay, it's time that I have to look at it to be one of the three jurors.
Right. Excellent.
And then also at the top of the hill, there's a bunch of nonprofit tents.
Okay. And kids activities and things up there as well?
Yeah, I believe there will be. I think those start tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Stephen, thanks for being here with us. I know you want to dig through those CD bins.
Yeah, I'll dig through and see what
and start
stuff.
To...
It's like my collection's getting out of hand at home, so it's like...
I know. So, let's see, anything else going on?
I'm just getting ready for the semester to start. In fact, it's, your other half is... one of my faculty teaching art for early elementary school teachers.
Yes, not. Yeah, I was going to say. Full disclosure. My wife Kendall started in the winter semester teaching.
Actually,
as well,
it was not planned that way. It was just we put out an ad and we had people interviewed from all over the region, including one of the finalists was from Pontiac. Kendall was the strongest candidate.
I didn't even know about it until she asked me, who she needed to send her resume to. She's like, do you have any idea who I send it to? And I'm like,
it wasn't me.
I said, let me ask Susan.
Yeah, Pat Lanza.
That's right, Pat. Yes, correct. Indeed. So,
I'm the one who submits her supply list to the local... stores.
Oh, okay.
It's an art class.
She's already been working on that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, yeah, and it is. Homecoming now, and then a couple of weeks later,
it's amazing.
Classes.
It's like, where did the summer go?
it just started last week, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
But, indeed. And that's actually one of the great things about homecoming, is it is that celebration. And I've always wondered, is it sort of the end of summer celebration, or is it the height of summer celebration here in Dearborn? So. But it'll be going on all weekend, and we know that a lot of loyal listeners will come down and see us. We're in our usual spot, just right across from the fresh squeezed lemonade stand, as a matter of fact. Just listen for the sound of the big the kids screaming on the large whatever that thing is that flings them in the air and turns them over. So
there isn't a Ferris wheel this year.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking down the pipe.
Yeah,
I don't
but there's
see
that
going.
Little thing that the cars that are on the track. Those things are cool.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
The only thing that I really like.
Is there bumper cars over there too?
Yeah.
That's always one of my favorites too. So. So, awesome. Very nice to have you here on the WHFR Journal, and we'll look forward to seeing you around.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have a conversation about that exhibition coming up in the fall.
Yeah,
so.
Let's just try to do that as soon as possible.
Indeed.
So let's start planning.
Indeed.
So before it's too late.
There you go. Thank you so much, Steve, for stopping by. Steve Glazer from Henry Ford College. Pleasure to have you here on the WHFR
Journal.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm Alan Mazurek along with Justin Randles, and we're here at the Dearborn Homecoming. There we go. Let's slide that over. Actually, perfect.
All right.
Indeed. How are you doing?
I feel like I just got my voice back.
There you go. I know. Well, you know, sometimes things happen.
Yeah.
We'll get another microphone cable for that other microphone pretty soon. Anyway, so. Chairman Homecoming. Ever been here before?
You know, I think I have, but it's been like 15 years, I think.
Okay.
But it's definitely something that I want to bring the kids to later, like checking it out. You got the carnival and all the good smells and all that stuff. Yeah, man, it's a party up here right now.
Well, just for people who are listening and maybe wondering, okay, what is this Dearborn Homecoming? This is the 40th one. It's presented by Beaumont, and it takes place at Ford Field Park in Dearborn, which if you kind of know Dearborn, Ford Field Park is north of, it's two blocks north of Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
And then on the north end of it is Cherry Hill. So it's between basically, what is that? Is that Morley and Cherry Hill? And then roughly from Brady to Military. I mean, there's a little bit of a neighborhood on the other side of it. But that's sort of the quadrant of Dearborn where things are located. And as we talked about, we've got, you know, all sorts of activities going on all weekend long. WHFR is going to be down here. Please do stop by and say hi to us. And we would definitely love to see you. Obviously, there's probably something for just about everybody's culinary tastes.
I think there's so much to be had.
So,
it's like food heaven.
It is indeed.
Food heaven. And
to be honest, it looks like we're going to have a great, great weekend for it. There's a little bit of a breeze. And, you know, as damp as things have been this year, the fields and everything look really, really good.
Yeah, they really
I was kind of worried about it myself just because, you know, water levels have been so high and things
Absolutely.
Like that. So, no reason to not come by. Everything is free, except for, you know, obviously the food and stuff like that.
And
the rides, obviously, that goes without
everything
saying.
Everything is free besides everything that costs money.
Correct. There you go. That's a good way of looking at it. One of the things we just wrapped up, and it was a real special thing that they do. I just want to make a mention. Because it's just for the people who make it possible for this, it means so much. And obviously it took place before we were on the air. This morning from 9 a.m. until noon, and this is at least the second, maybe third year they've been doing it, they have a special All-Stars Day, which takes place on the morning of the first day. It's a chance for people with special needs and children with special needs to enjoy some of the carnival rides from 9 to 11 a.m. They have activities on the courts. Everything, you know, when we come here to set up for the broadcast, it's just starting, but the kids are having a blast.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's certainly a less crowded environment than it is later in the day. And, you know, for people who need to be able to drive in to get children
Absolutely.
Down here,
yeah.
it makes sense to be able to do it before the festival opens. And that's all made possible by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, the City of Dearborn, the Dearborn Community Fund, and Wade Shows. Sponsored by also Little Caesars, Monroe Dartmouth, Village Ford, McDonald's, South Telegraph and Colgate branch of McDonald's, and other sponsors as well. And we just want to give out, you know, some recognition for that great event that they do as
yeah,
part of
really
Homecoming.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, I bet they even turn off, like, all the flashing lights and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
really cool, yeah.
Yes, yes. And it does. It certainly it creates a special day for everybody. And then, of course, you know, I mean, obviously the carnival is going on all weekend long. And why don't you tell us a little bit about some things that are coming up on Sunday?
All right. So Sunday all day is high school reunion picnics. That's the first thing that I noticed. Thornton High School, Lowry, and St. Alphonsus High School are going to be having their reunions all day. It doesn't say a year. There's the homecoming 5K run on Sunday. That starts at 8 a.m. Carnival opens up at 11. Food court opens up at 11. I'm telling you, I've said it like probably 10 times already, but it's all about the food, man. There's a Polish tent, Arab American tent. There's an Italian tent. I mean, you could come, you could eat all around the world within a 1 square mile, probably even less than that area. Also coming up on Sunday will be some mural demonstrations and, by some artists. That's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Children's crafts at the Access Arab American National Museum tent. That's a kitty corner from us, our tent, located right down here by us. We also have the Detroit Institute of Art tent will be open, children's crafts, a potato sack, hacky sack contest from noon to 1 p.m. So if you're like, me, a child from the 90s, and you used to kick the hacky sack all around, this is your chance to relive those lost thrills that you had with the hacky sack game. So definitely, that's pretty cool. I've never heard it called a potato sack, though, so you might be battling against some hard-charging, old-school hacky sackers. And moving on, there's a Joel Tracy's Family Magic and Juggling Comedy Show. That's going to be, you know, obviously for the family. That's 1 to 2 p.m. Tip Top Balloon Twister. High Five Guy Bo Stilt Performer. Oh,
ooh.
Yeah, Stilt Performance. There we go. The Amazing Clark, a master magician. So musicians just are here to scare the crap out of you all day long.
Well,
if you're afraid of
musicians. Or entertain you.
Yeah,
Well, are there any clowns? That's the only one I worry
actually,
about.
Actually, there are clowns, but that will be tomorrow is where I saw the clown.
Oh, okay.
And her name is something equally as terrifying, or his Willie T. Clown.
Oh, nice.
That
okay.
That just sounds, although Willie T. Firefly, wasn't that a name? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
There's more clowns than probably is ever necessary for there to be clowns.
And then, well, I know music-wise, we wrap things up on Sunday night. Starship is tomorrow. 50 Amp Fuse, which is a local favorite, great cover band. They're all over the place, and a lot of people will know them. And then, of course, Sunday night, we'll have another round of fireworks. So it's always a blast. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. We're broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming. Good afternoon to you. It's great to have you joining us on this Friday afternoon. We hope you'll join us in person. We'll be here all weekend at our tent here at the Homecoming, and we would love to meet you. You can pick up a copy of the new program guide, The Loyal Listener. We've got some buttons. We've got pens and a few other things to give away, and we also have our record and CD and a sale going on for a donation to the station. We've got CDs where you can get one for a $1 donation to the station, LPs, 5 for a dollar, and 45 records, 10 for a dollar, and that'll be going on all weekend as well. Right now on the program, I want to bring in somebody certainly no stranger to the WHFR airwaves, Emma Jean Woodyard, the director of the Dearborn Community Foundation, Fund. Sorry. Thank you so much for joining us here at Homecoming. Excellent. Let's adjust that just a little bit because we've got all that music going on across the way from us. So how many years? Well, this is the 40th Dearborn Homecoming. Right?
It is.
How many of them have you been personally involved in?
Probably at least 30.
That's a long time. We try to think of that every year at the station in terms of what year we first started here. And, it's been an ongoing question.
I have to say, when I started, we used to do an art fair down along the riverbank until we got flooded out too many times. That ended the art fair along the riverbank.
Well, and it's just sort of grown and become, obviously, what has been a great tradition in Dearborn. And obviously, it's, changed and evolved over the years. We're at this point here, this year, where hopefully we're going to have, the best homecoming ever. Isn't that always the spirit?
Well, we always look to Mother Nature to help us with that because a lot of it has to do with the weather.
Sure.
If it's very hot and very humid, we find that the crowds are lighter, especially during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather forecast this year is pretty good, so we thank Mother Nature, or I like to say the Chamber of Commerce, for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
I have to blame somebody, right?
depending on how the weather turns. No, I think that Mother Nature is doing us a good favor this year. So, so tell us a little bit about maybe some of the new things going on this year, or what particular activities you're most excited about.
Well, there are a lot of things that are return visitors every year that people enjoy. We try to bring in some new things in terms of the hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we've got a kids zone up there with the inflatables, with kids games run by the recreation department, with the schools being represented up there, other groups. We have paint out in the park up there, which are the mural artists that come in over 3 days. We're expecting at least 54 mural artists.
That's what we were talking with Stephen Glazer, who was on the air before you were with us. And I, you know, do you have to be an artist to do these things, or how do you sign up and become a part of that?
Well, it's a network. Mm-hmm. So certainly anybody who wants to come and enjoys painting and has their own supplies can come and sit in the park and, you know, join in. But in order to make sure that we have a core of people there, we reach out to a rather extensive artist colony in southeastern Michigan. So they come from all over, and as I said, over the 3 days, there will be at least 54 in and out. And then they will do a big exhibit of all the work on September 6th at the Downey Brewery in East Dearborn.
Which is a new location for it.
Yes, it is. A new location for it. We move it around every year, try to do something different to showcase the work.
Excellent. I know it was at the Black Box, I think, and in some other place as well.
Yes, it was at the Black Box. It's been at the Sisson Gallery at the college.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular one, you may already know this, but that particular show went on tour. So the mural artists had their work go to, I think it was 5 campuses across the state.
I was going to say Lansing and Muskegon, and there were a few others as well,
if I
remember correctly.
You know, we basically look for a different way to exhibit it every year.
Nice. So that goes on. That'll be going on at what we call the top of the hill. That's on the Cherry Hill side the festival. And then, of course, you come down the hill to where the music stages and, you know, a lot of the food tents are. And there's obviously a lot of activity there. We'll have musical performances on a couple of different stages, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you cannot escape it. It's everywhere. And so many different types of music, which are, you know, make it very interesting. So if you don't hear it in one place, you can move on to the next one.
There you go.
And then the main stage, you know, which is the big show.
I do want to mention one thing just, you know, to make sure that people know, because, you know, the people who've been here year after year kind of know the drill. But for those who haven't, is especially for the music on the main stage and for the fireworks, which take place tomorrow, Saturday, and on Sunday evening.
Yes, and they're the best fireworks around. Anybody will tell you that.
And really, that's not an exaggeration. Yeah. That's not. We're not trying to sell you something. That's actually true. That's a statement of fact. I agree with you. For folks who are coming down, now you can save space on Ford Field Hill anytime after 8 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Blankets have to be 8 foot by 8 foot or less. And you can sort of place your blanket there and sort of reserve your spot. I know that's a long-standing Dearborn homecoming tradition.
It's the honor system.
it is, and it usually works out.
It usually works.
You can't put stakes in the ground to hold them in place, but you also have to take them with you at night. So you can't roll in on Saturday morning and leave it there for Sunday night.
No, because they disappear.
Yes, indeed. I'm sure there's a warehouse somewhere in the Department of Public Works.
Yes.
Has the blankets and stuff like that. That's so just for those who are interested in coming down. So you can come down earlier in the day. And I don't mean to make it sound like it's like a land grab right at 8 a.m., but you will see
there
people.
There are people who do it. And it used to be that there would be a long lineup waiting, you know, patiently.
To get in the park.
To get into the park and do it. So, again, you're right. It's a Dearborn tradition for sure.
But you can come in here, lay your blanket down, walk around, enjoy a day at the festival, and know you've got somewhere to land later on in the evening for the Starship concert or for the fireworks after that.
So it's great. You know, what I should bring up, too, I happen to work for the Dearborn Community Fund, as you mentioned, and we are responsible for raising sponsor dollars.
Yes.
I'd really like to do a, you know, kind of a hats off to all the sponsors, starting with, Beaumont.
Correct. Title sponsor.
Sponsor, along with, of course, Ford Motor Company and LaFontaine Motors and DTE Energy Foundation, to name a few. I won't name them all. But we couldn't do this without the support that we get from all these wonderful sponsors. So I spend a lot of my year going after money.
Trying to
get money. And
one weekend of the year spending it.
And one weekend of the year spending it and making sure that we do everything we tell the sponsors
we're going to do
for them as well. So I personally want to, you know, give a shout out to all those all those sponsors have stepped up to make this happen. You know, we attract between 125 and 150,000 people over the weekend, providing the weather is in our favor.
Sure.
And there's a lot of moving parts. It's a year in the making.
Sure.
As soon as we finish this one, we start planning for next year.
And speaking of moving parts, where do people park to get here?
Well, we really encourage people to park the free parking in the Dearborn High parking lot over on Outer Drive,
mm-hmm.
next to the firehouse there. It's free. And the shuttles run continuously from from the Dearborn High parking lot to Ford Field.
And it's not even a five-minute bus ride.
They're clean. They're comfortable. I do believe they have some that are handicap accessible. And it's the best deal in town because it's free and you don't have the hassle. Parking is limited here, as you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
The carnival, which is very popular, takes up so much of the main parking lot.
Sure.
And the upper parking lot is used for the people who work here for the entire weekend. So we've become pretty good at diffusing any concerns or arguments about who goes where. It's very, very well spelled out for them.
And you mentioned buses that would be some of them being handicapped accessible. Justin and I were talking just before you came on about the special morning we had this morning.
Yes.
With the All-Stars Day. And all of the sponsors that, help make that possible here for homecoming. That's, it was a great opportunity for people to come and who need the time and space to enjoy the carnival when it's not quite so busy.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program, and the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce puts that together every year. They started it a number of years ago. And it's proven to be extremely successful, another one of the highlights for Dearborn Homecoming.
Indeed. And that one wrapped up. So, let's see, what else is going on this highlights? They moved, for people coming down who've been here before, I noticed they moved one of the food tents, or the Polish food area is moved this year?
Yeah, it was a big decision to make, however... You know, most of the tents, as a matter of fact, all of the food tents are manned by nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have found, and this has been going on, because it's everywhere, but with our event, we have noticed it particularly the last 10 years, where these nonprofit groups are finding it more and more difficult to get volunteers to run the booths. I mean, they come down, they're basically here 4 or 5 days before the event starts, and then a couple days after to clean up. It takes a lot of commitment, so they're finding it more and more difficult. So all you people out there who have nothing to do, look for your local, whether it's the Kiwanis Club or whatever, and get involved with them and help out. So the food booths in particular, nonprofit organizations, you asked about merging the Polish and the Italian into what is the North Pavilion. It's the largest pavilion on the ground. We thought it was time to bring those two together. Because, again, the lack of volunteers to really run two different locations. And so I consider it our little international pavilion for right now.
Nice.
maybe we can expand upon it, but there's definitely Polish food, and there's definitely Italian food.
And then, of course, the Arab American tent.
Yeah.
And then the food row with, Edsel Ford. Has their booth there, and there's a few. The firefighters are there with the
popular corn drive.
Yep.
Oh, people look forward to that every year too. So
you're going
to
see. Justin, long you stick around, you're going to see a lot of people walking by chewing on ears
and
of
actually,
corn.
And actually, the corn crop's late coming in this year. Really, Michigan
was
corn
very, very late.
Yeah, because of the weather that we had, and so I think people are really hankering for some corn.
We were up north at the 4th of July, and it was not knee high.
Yeah,
it was more like just above the ankle. Mid-shin, I guess.
Which is unusual. But anyway, it's here today.
Oh, it is.
And it'll be here all weekend.
And they're well-stocked and well-supplied. Yeah. They got the boilers out there going. And again,
when you purchase from any of the food vendors, in particular the corn, you're supporting the firefighters' burn drive, and you're supporting the Escoport High School Booster Club.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just, all about the nonprofits who look for this event in order to earn money to do their good work in the community.
Sure.
So, and it's been the tradition at homecoming since day one.
And when we say homecoming, there is still that component of class reunions and things, which is another, obviously, uniquely Dearborn tradition mm-hmm. for a festival like this, which takes place.
It is.
High schools that are still there and high schools that aren't still
that have,
there.
That have closed their doors, exactly. But we get calls all the time, you know, about it. And what they've been doing a lot lately, last few years, too, is they come down here. This is a very casual reunion, and then they,
like
have,
picnic,
they have a dinner or something somewhere else in Dearborn, you know, and they spend the whole weekend together.
Well, I was going to say, and I know tomorrow, and it goes on pretty much all day, the reunion picnics are for Dearborn High School, Edsel Ford, and Sacred Heart High School, which, yes, definitely Sacred Heart had a high school there.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, St. Alphonsus, which is where my sister graduated from, Fordson and Lowry High School will be having their reunion on Sunday, August 4th. And that is also on the, it's sort of like tucked in between where the where that food row is and the main stage,
right,
sort of back on the riverbank.
Between the food court and the food court stage.
There you go.
Area.
That's
yes.
what I was going to say. You know the technical terms
well,
for all these
we
things.
We talk about them all year.
I was going to say. So, and, you know, obviously it is, I'm sure it's exhausting because there's so many details that need to be taken care of right up until the last minute. Do you have a chance to sit and enjoy it, or just...
You know, once the dust settles Friday, it usually takes till about noon. Everybody's very anxious to find where they're supposed to be, get their parking passes, you know, get directions. Some have been here before, some have never been here. So I usually look for around noon, 1 o'clock on Friday, that we put out all the big fires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there are always things that happen. And just to tell you, you know, we plan this all year long. And so we will end on Sunday. We will start having meetings immediately the following week to summarize what happened this year. And then, you know, start saying, well, for next year we need to do A, B, C, and D. So as we like to say, it never goes away. It's always there.
It's just such a great tradition and such a great part of summer here in Dearborn. And, of course, you know, us at WHFR, we're just always thrilled to be a part of it as well.
Well, so. We're glad you're here, too. I remember probably the first year you all came, and there was some question about, well, you know, and we said, what do you mean? They'll put us on the air. Do it. Hey, come on. They're one of us. And we've never looked back.
And we'll be here all weekend, as a matter of fact, just so people know. I mean, we're doing this program, the WHFR Journal, live right now. But then pretty much every half hour, you know, during festival hours up till about 8 o'clock or so, because we want to get our spots for the fireworks, we'll shut things down on the broadcast booth. But we'll be here, you know, calling into the station every half hour and obviously trying to talk to as many people involved in the festival, and I know last year we had all sorts of folks come by, police chief, folks from Beaumont stopped by to just sort of, you know, talk about homecoming and WHFR's part in it as well.
Well, we're very pleased, or I should say very proud of WHFR, so...
See, this is why you say, like, around about noon or 1 o'clock on Friday, you can relax because you know you're coming in to, you know, talk with
mm-hmm,
us. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, that once you get to your interview slot every year.
Well, I kept
year,
saying yeah. to myself, don't forget, because, again, you never know. I mean, but the crew that works on this, again,
and there's
some
so
of them,
many people that...
But there have been some that have been involved with this for, I'm not going to say completely for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
but it could be 30 years, and they know it inside and out, and they know how to put out the big fire,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. They know when somebody says, my power is not working, you know, how to get that taken care of, lickety-split. So usually the reaction from people who have an issue is that, wow, you know, you guys really know what you're doing. So, but that takes a lot of practice and experience, and we're so pleased that we have these people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And then and that includes, you know, I mean, people from the city, obviously.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously the tremendous work that the you know, public safety people do that are a part of it. Also, you know, we've got, ambulance crews on standby if anything happens, and all the people in the Parks Department who, you know, probably did their best to get the place looking great, and then obviously an army of volunteers, I'm sure.
There are a lot of volunteers, and, you know, two of the key people on the planning team, and you probably know them, Eric Peterson, who's the special events coordinator and the deputy director for Dearborn Recreation. He has been doing this for so long, he could probably do it in his sleep, but he too gets frazzled on Friday morning. And then Mary Landroche from the City Department of Public Information, and then our Dearborn Community Fund. We kind of make up the trio. I call it the core, and then we go out from there. So it's a challenge every year because everybody's working full-time, other full-time positions.
In addition to the full-time.
This is added on.
Sure.
Which is amazing to me. It is.
Well, it is labor of love for a lot of people and a great time for the, 125,000 people who will work their way through Ford Field over the course of this weekend.
Exactly.
So, well, I know it's up and running, but it's early days. We wish you continued success with the festival. I think, like you said, Mother Nature really is doing us a favor this year. And as wet as it was earlier in the year, the park looks in great shape. There's no, I was just here for the first time this morning. I was like, is there going to be like standing water and flooding? Because obviously it's been just one of those springs where there's been a lot of water everywhere, but everything's in beautiful shape.
Yeah, it's been very, very unusual. And like I said early on, you know, we used to do the art fair along the Rouge River. Had to stop because that thing would crest and we'd be overcome.
Sure.
So we don't do that anymore. As a matter of fact, there's a trail that goes through there, and it's kind of a real natural pathway now, which is very nice.
All right. Emma Jean Woodyard, Director of the Dearborn Community Fund, thank you so much for helping us open up Homecoming 2019, the 40th Dearborn Homecoming.
I know. I'm looking for the cake. Where's the birthday cake?
I think we already ate all the donuts.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, too bad. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, stop back later in the weekend. If you get a chance, let us know how things are going. Always a pleasure to have you on our airwaves, whether it's in the studio or here in the open air. So.
Appreciate it. And we miss Susan.
Yes, indeed.
Hope she's having a good time. Susan McGraw.
She felt really, really bad that she wasn't going to be able to be. I'm not supposed to say that.
She was conflicted.
Yeah, she definitely was.
She was conflicted.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Good luck. We'll see you soon. Take care. This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Coming up in about, a little less than 10 minutes, we've got Kitty Love taking a trip down Highway 61. We look forward to hearing some blues this Friday afternoon. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Justin Randles, on this open-air edition of the WHFR Journal, and it's a gorgeous day.
It is a beautiful day,
and it's just getting started, right?
It is just getting started. The people, I'm surprised that there are as many people here already as there is. But if you want a chance to catch all the rides and catch all the attractions before the crowds get too big, right now is your time because it's not terribly busy, it's not terribly hot. The lemonade's frozen. I don't know what more you could ask for.
There you go, indeed. There are a lot of activities. For a full list of things, and we mentioned, but if you just have any questions, you can go to cityofdearborn.org/homecoming, and that has the entire schedule for the festival, which, we've got one in front of us in our hands, but it just helps to know when you're here. The main information area when you arrive at Ford Field is on the north side of the river, as it were, and it's right up there by where the restroom pavilion is as well. So cityofdearborn.org/homecoming will give you all sorts of information. There are a lot of other events that I don't know if we've mentioned this evening. In addition to the music, the Cruise in Dearborn car cruise begins at 19th District Court in Dearborn and is a part of the homecoming. There's also, one of my favorite things to watch, not to do, is the homecoming 5K run, which takes place on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. For those of you who can handle 5K, you can register at cityofdearborn.org/5K. I'm sure also on the homecoming webpage, they'll have information for you to sign up there. Anything else you got there that looks good?
Well, if you have any hidden talents or not so hidden talents, there's a Dearborn's Got Talent contest that starts tomorrow from 2 to 3, and also there's the same contest on Sunday that's probably going to be the winners from Saturday.
And that's going to be at the what they call the Hilltop area.
Yep.
I'm trying to decipher all the abbreviations. So, yes, Dearborn's Got Talent, 2 to 3 on Sunday. Is it also 2 to 3 tomorrow? 2
it
to
is.
3 tomorrow on
yep.
Saturday and 2 to 3 on Sunday in what's called the Hilltop area, which is where the Kids Zone and the Artisans area is as well. That's up on the Cherry Hill Road side of the festival. Main carnival area is, you know, south of that. That's where you're going to find WHFR. You can't miss us. Look for the big blue tent and look for the wonderful staff and volunteers we have at WHFR wearing headsets and talking to as many of our loyal listeners as stop by. We definitely would love to see you in person. And don't forget, we would love for you to not go away empty-handed. We'd love you to go away with as many albums or CDs as you can fit in your arms. For a $1 donation, we've got you can pick a CD out of our bins that we have. For a $1 donation, you can get 5 vinyl records, 12-inch vinyl records that you can carry, and or 10 45 RPM 7-inch singles. And there's actually there's some really cool things in there.
It's some really obscure stuff that you might not be able to find if you're a collector. If you're definitely you got to hit the booth, because I went through the stuff and I like to think that I'm well versed in the world of music, but I go through those bins. And I have no idea what's happening in there, man.
they're usually and you'll see people in there that'll be in there for an hour or so. Which I guess, you know, I mean, if you're used to, you know, spending a lot of your life in record stores, you know what that's like. Everyone, you can always tell the pros. They've got that rhythm of flipping through the records.
Just like when you go to like a thrift store, you can tell who shops in a thrift store all the time because they've got their method.
Yep.
And it's the same way here in the music thrift store.
Right, indeed. Well, we do hope people will come down and see us. Let's see. While she's here, do you mind, who's Lady Champagne? You want to come talk to us for a couple seconds? And then Scott Boatwright is also here as well. We've only got the 2 microphones at the moment, so let's just, welcome the Beast of the Blues to the Friday afternoon
airwaves here
at WHFR. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
Excellent. So your first time around here at WHFR homecoming, right?
No.
With us?
I was here last year.
Were you? Okay, I must have been when I was here, not in the evening anyway. So how are things going today? Have you enjoyed?
Everything is going great. The people, the music, the food, just to see people just moving around, happy spirit. You know, having fun on the carnival, the Ferris wheel, the Mighty Mouse. You know, it's getting really great. Nice weather. Everything is good.
And then, of course, we got some music going on later in the evening. I know Scott Boatwright was telling me about he knows one of the acts that's going to be performing tomorrow afternoon. Why don't you hand Scott the microphone for a second here? I'm just thanks. Sorry about that. So I know you'd mentioned you had Downriver Dan on the program before, right?
Yeah, he was just on last week, actually.
On WHFR, on Live from Studio J?
Did a great show, played for about an hour on WHFR. It was not yesterday, but the Thursday before.
Oh, okay.
From 5 to 6, yeah.
And he's going to be performing tomorrow from 3 to 4, and that's going to be on the food court stage. So tell us a little bit about what type of music and things we can expect on that.
Downriver Dan is more like blues rock, I guess. You couldn't say pure blues, but definitely a huge influence in that category. He's got a great band. It's him and the usual four-piece, drums, bass, guitar, vocals. But he's a local guy. He I don't think he lives in Dearborn, but he can practically ride his bike here where he lives.
So. Nice. Yeah. Very good. So that's obviously just one of the musical acts. Obviously, Starship tomorrow evening is sort of the headliners for the festival. That runs from 8:30 to 10. Right. And then, of course, you know, later on Sunday, we've got 50 Amp Fuse, which is another very popular band at festivals and things like that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, nice to talk to you. We're just about out of time, wrapping things up here on the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Justin Randles, Scott Boatwright, and Blues Lady Champagne. It's been great spending this hour with you, and hopefully on the other end back station, Kitty Love should be ready to take us on that trip down Highway 61.
Come on and see us.
Yeah, come on out and see us at the Dearborn Homecoming. We'll be here all weekend long, as will the festival goes on all weekend long, including the fireworks at 10 o'clock tomorrow and on Sunday. Are you there, Kitty? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm here waiting for you guys out there.
We're nice wrapping show. Things up here on the WHFR Journal.
It's
not sure what that was. You there?
I am here. I'm not sure. I didn't touch anything, so.
Okay, I didn't either, so. Maybe just a few little gremlins in the system to work out. Anyway, we'll be checking in throughout the course of the day, and, you know, wish you could be with us instead of that air-conditioned studio. But it is a beautiful day outside, so, yeah.
All
Take
right.
it away.
Thank you, and this is Kitty Love, and here comes some blues for you on the station Making Waves, WHFR.fm.
Winner of the Spirit of College Radio Award, broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn.
Is on the air. I am DJ Kitty Love, and I'll be here for the next 2 hours until 4 o'clock, bringing you a bunch of brand new blues releases and some Detroit blues, and some on the air from live over at the Henry Ford Park in Dearborn, Michigan, where the annual homecoming